Grace and peace to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You see them in the blink of an eye as you're passing by on the side of the road. Faded flowers tied or taped to a white cross, a little roadside shrine. One brief vision of violence now ended. Something has happened there, something violent. And that brief glimpse of violence changes the way you travel in the world. In the same way, our reading from Revelation is like that roadside shrine. It is a brief vision of heavenly violence, yet it changes the way we live in this world. When you read that text as part of the longer story, you recognize that it is both very brief, yet it is firmly planted in this world. John has been receiving a vision of life on earth. He has seen Israel, an Israel on earth who has received her promised Messiah. But before the nations believe in this Messiah, he is taken up into heaven. And the church is left wandering in the wilderness here on earth. And then you have this brief vision of fighting in heaven, and the dragon is thrown back down to the earth, and now the church is being persecuted because Satan knows his time is short, and he is struggling, and the church is struggling, and she cries out, waiting for her Lord to come. You see this vision of violence isn't asking to open up the heavens and reveal the mysteries of God. Instead, it is opening up the earth to show you what is going on here. And you know two things. You know there is a war against God's people, and you know that God enables his creatures to participate in the victory of Christ. You participate in the victory of Christ. I'd like you to think for a moment just how truly strange this story is. We see a war in heaven, and Michael is fighting, and the devil is cast out of heaven. Now that doesn't seem to strike us right. If we were to rewrite this story, it wouldn't be Michael, would it? It would be Jesus. That would fit better with the biblical witness. It is Christ who is risen from the dead, Christ who has defeated sin, Christ who has defeated Satan, Christ who cast Satan out of heaven. But John tells us that it is Michael, because Michael participates in the victory of Christ. Michael participates in the victory of Christ. When Michael casts Satan out of heaven, all heaven breaks forth in song. And what do they sing? Not about Michael. They sing about Christ. His rule, his authority, his power, the blood of Christ that conquers Satan. And what they sing, and that's what they sing because it is Christ's resurrection that has defeated the power of death. He has power over death. He has power over sin. He has power over Satan, and he has power over all creation. And Christ, he enables his creatures to participate in that victory. And that's an encouraging word. It was encouraging to John, exiled on the island of Patmos, watching as the church was torn apart by persecution and false teaching. And what does he have? He doesn't have fame or fortune that people should care about him. He doesn't have a household or a home that people should care for him. All he has is his testimony, his aging and frail voice. And yet Christ enables him to participate in that victory over Satan so that even today, we listen to the voice of John. It is encouraging for John, and is it encouraging for you? I don't need to tell you that there is a war going on, a war against Christians. And I'm not just talking about a culture war. I'm talking about physical violence. You can easily see the images and articles online. Churches bombed in Sri Lanka and the Philippines, burned down in Ethiopia, desecrated in Brazil, stormed in India, with worshippers and clergy being arrested, harmed, and even killed. Just 2 days ago, in his opening statement before a UN panel, Peter Sijarto, Minister of Foreign Affairs and Trade for Hungary, stated, "This is a fact, that Christianity is the most persecuted religion all over the world." I was even reading a blog written by a Muslim that said, though there are places where Muslims faced increased persecution worldwide, Christians are the most persecuted faith. And when you see that war out there in the world, and you look at your own life, some days you wonder if you have the strength to fight in that battle. You come to church to hear and learn about God, and you often end up learning about yourself. How pitiful our interests can be. We get all offended when somebody disrespects us or does something we don't like. And across the world, people are being blown to pieces when they go to church. And we're worried about gossip or getting our own way. And we see our pettiness. And we see our powerlessness. Because there are sins that keep surfacing in your life. And you thought that if you just prayed long enough, if you just worked hard enough, they'd be gone. You dreamt of the sky of the kingdom, and you wake up with your face down in the dirt of your sin. And sometimes you may begin to wonder, maybe you're lost. Well, hear this. Christ knows where you are. And today he gives you that small roadside shrine so that you know what is happening. Satan is doing what Satan does, attacking God's people, deceiving God's people on earth, deceiving you into thinking that you are going to fight this war on your own strength. And when you hear his accusations, know this: Christ has already conquered him. And those accusations against you, they don't sound in heaven. For there before the throne of God, the Heavenly Father, the blood of Christ alone intercedes for you, and Christ, the one mediator, prays for you. Christ, who has the power over Satan, who has power over death, power over sin, and power over creation. You are not some random act of violence. You are not some collateral damage in a much greater war. No, no. You are not forgotten. He has chosen you to participate in his victory over Satan. And in your weakness, his strength shines forth. You know, the unfortunate reality about St. Michael and all angels is that when you look up images of St. Michael fighting that dragon in all of the sculptures and paintings, you can be left with a feeling of despair, because every single image of Michael, he is depicted as this big, imposing angel, and he's dressed in military garb. He's holding a shield in one hand and a spear or a sword in another. Sometimes he's jamming that spear into the mouth of Satan or lobbing off his head with the sword. Those images make you think that Michael's doing it all on his own strength. Though I'm not usually a fan of depicting angels as those cute little cherubs, you know, those little babies that fly around in their diapers. Here I'd be willing to make an exception. Because if we were to look at that image. The image of this big, dreadful dragon and this tiny little cherub. We would look at that and think to ourselves, there is no way. There is no way that one of those plump little reef-bearing guys would ever be able to conquer that dragon of Satan. And that's the point. Michael and all of his angels fight by the strength of someone else. And so do you. And so do I. I might not know what some of you are fighting or how long you've been struggling. In fact, for many of you, I don't. But I do know this. When the battle is fierce and the fight is long, God sends his angels to you and to me to guard us, to protect us, and to lead us in ways that we can't even fathom. Even here now, as we meet as the church to receive his word and his sacrament, the angels are surrounding us, caring for us, and protecting us so that we may receive this mercy and grace apart from the assaults of the devil. And I also know this, that you and I, we come here because we're on our way home. And today, along that way, Jesus gives us a small roadside shrine to teach us of his victory, that we might share and live and hope in him. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.